Hi, my name's Pete Banton, and I'm the co-founder of the Awaken Life Project here in Portugal. And I'd like to welcome you to this new podcast, which is named after my recently released first book called The Fire of the Heart. In this podcast, I'm going to be exploring the nature of an authentic spiritual awakening and its potential implications in these tipping point times we are living through together. I hope that you will find these podcasts illuminating and provocative, and most of all, I hope that they'll ignite a big and potentially all-consuming fire in your heart.
So I'm very happy to be here today with Jed Diamond, who's the author of many books and the founder of Men Alive. And I was very interested to find Jed's work. And the two things I was immediately impressed with is that he's been at this for a very long time. So Jed started working on men's development in 1969, when I was only 4 years old. And what very much impressed me about when I first came and looked into your work and your website was how you really led with your own vulnerability in those videos you have on the homepage in terms of your life and relationships. So that immediately piqued my interest, and I wanted to find out more. And so I'd really like to. So anyway, thanks for joining me. Very happy to have you here.
My pleasure.
And I'd really like to start by asking you the sort of overarching question about why we're even involved in men's work of any form, and that is, why is it so important? Because as everyone's aware, there's a lot of women's work of various types that's been going on, you know, for quite some time in progressive culture. And although there are some pioneers like you who've been involved in men's work for a long time, I'd say it's only fairly recent that this desperate need, really, for men to start to come together so that they can not only develop and liberate themselves and discover an authentic manhood, but also come together in what we could call a spiritual brotherhood, which I think for those men that really discover it, it's like nothing else. It's not to say we can't have wonderful relationships with women. Of course, that's wonderful too, but there's something about coming together with men in a deeply committed context that's most men don't know anything about it. So I know for a lot of us at the Men's Collective, we always feel like if only more men knew what is possible. And that's a big part. That's the main reason why we're making the documentary, A New Men's Liberation, and why we feel at this point in our journey, we want to reach out to other men and share our learnings and insights, is just to say, hey guys, you know, there's something that's possible that can enrich your life beyond anything you can imagine. So with that said, maybe I'd be interested to hear from you. You've obviously been working at it for a long time. Why do you feel it's so essential, especially in the times we're living in now?
Yeah. Well, let me just tell you kind of the beginning for me of how I got started doing this, and I think it'll speak to why I think it's so essential. So it began for me, as you said, on November 21st, 1969. And the beginning was in a hospital in California, where I was coaching my wife through the childbirth practices for a baby that was on the way, and she had been in labor for about 14 hours, and I was coaching her for time, and it was finally time for the baby to arrive, and the nurse said to my wife, I think we're ready. We're going to take you to the delivery room. And Mr. Diamond, your job is done now. You can go to the waiting room, and we'll let you know when the blessed event has happened. And being a, you know, good follow the rules kind of guy at the time, I started out to the waiting room, but I couldn't go through the doors. I felt something wouldn't let me do that. Mm. And what I felt was it was a sense, not exactly a voice, but a calling from my unborn child saying to me, I don't want a waiting room father. Your place is here with us. And I just, you know, turned around and walked back the other direction, turned the other way towards the delivery room, went through the doors and took my place at the head of the table, so to speak. And shortly after, turned out our son, Jamal, was born.
So they let you stay, obviously.
Say it again.
So they let you stay, obviously.
They let me, well, there was no question of leaving. I was just there, and they, I think, both let me stay and knew that they could not or would not tell me to leave without causing more problems than my staying might have created. And so when they handed me, and they did, when the birth happened and the nurse handed me this newborn little baby, and I looked down in his eyes, I was crying, and my wife was crying with relief, and I think they were crying that it had been successful and I didn't pass out or do anything weird. I made a promise to him when I held him that I would be a different kind of father than my father was able to be for me, and to do everything I could to create a world where fathers were fully involved with their children and their families throughout their lives. And 2.5 years later, we adopted a little girl. And so I really, this work has been dedicated to my son, my daughter, and my wife and I now have 5 children and 17 grandchildren and 2 wow. great-grandchildren. So in some way, why is this important? Well, I think it's important for the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, because all of us have an investment in our children and the future, whether we have biological children or not. And secondly, the truth is the world is at a place where we're in serious crisis. I don't think anybody has to convince us of that. But I think that men's work and the work that men both do in a positive way and a negative way are really crucial in the point in history where either we will continue down a path of domination and destruction, or we will embrace what I think is blossoming in men's work and in many other aspects, and women's work and our whole kind of community growth, is a partnership, a true partnership and liberation that I think is nascent, but now is gaining momentum. And often it's in the darkest nights that the light shines through. And I think we're in a pretty dark time where there are some light calling us to a new vision.
Yeah. Yeah, I very much resonate with that. One of the ways I see the time we're living in is like the darkness before the dawn.
Yes.
You know, and as the line goes, and it's a line in a Bob Dylan song. I'm a great fan of Bob Dylan. They say the darkest hours right before the dawn. And yeah, we could say that we're in a dark night of the soul of the species, you know, and going through a dark night of the soul is very much part of any kind of individual journey of development. But I feel there's something happening on a collective scale now that's as perilous as it is somehow needed. You know, it's somehow, you know, you know, most human beings unfortunately will not change or even reflect, you know, very deeply until they're forced, you know, or life circumstances bring a big reset, you know. So yeah, it's my hope also in terms of what you're saying that men's work can contribute to a more sustainable, regenerative human presence on this earth. You know, many we've heard, of course, it's very important that women stand up too and take greater roles and greater responsibility. And we bring the emphasis and the gifts of the divine feminine forward. But yeah, I think as men, you know, in many ways, the masculine is built to lead, you know, and, you know, can men learn to do that while bringing their all the dimensions online that they need to remedy, you know, all the madness that we're in the midst of, you know, and show a new way forward.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we got a lot of work to do.
Got a lot of work to do. So on that line, what have you found to be the biggest challenges? I mean, obviously we'd have to generalize, but the biggest fundamental challenges for men in our time, in terms of embodying a more authentic and integrated manhood?
Well, I think there are two things that I would say. Part of it is what part of us leads. And what I've learned in the work that I've done in myself over the years is that I think we all have what we might call a masculine and feminine side in us. We certainly, you know, were each conceived by a masculine sperm and a feminine egg.
Right.
That's how all of us came into the world, and we were conceived that way. And I think all men have both a feminine and a masculine side. And I believe it's the feminine side actually that needs to lead.
Mm.
It's a different concept than many think, but the intuitive, what we might call the feminine, you know, aspect of us, I believe needs to be the leader. And I think we've tended to reverse it, the kind of, you know, the outward, the dynamic masculine.
Yeah,
has often been in the leadership. And I believe it's the feminine part of us that needs to lead. It's the intuitive part that knows the path. It was the intuitive, I would suggest, the feminine part of me that went, I need to go back.
Yeah.
You know, I intuitively, the voice of this other dimension that I was tuned into, but the masculine part was the one that turned around and pushed his way through the delivery room doors and said, I'm not leaving. I didn't say that, I just was that. So the first thing is, I think we need to recognize this, the feminine in us needs to lead and the masculine in us needs to be the backup, needs the one that takes the action. So that's number one. Number two, I would say the other major thing that has gotten in the way is we haven't had men coming together in groups to be able to bring out the best and the deepest of who we are, to really tell the truth about who we really are, all the stories that we have of our woundedness, of our fears, of our anger, in a safe environment, in a container of safety where we can really go deep. And, you know, as you know, I've been in a men's group that's been meeting for 43 years. That was part of my journey. And I think these deep connections with other men is part of what allows for this integration of all parts of us, the feminine and the masculine part, and the letting go and the healing of a lot of the woundedness that we got in our families and the woundedness that we've gotten in our culture that has separated us from each other has separated us from the earth, has separated us from ourselves.
Yeah, wow, that's great. I totally resonate with everything you said. And yeah, and it strikes me, struck me when you said we need to lead with what you're defining as the feminine. And that story that you began with, it just really illustrates that. You know, it was the intuitive recognition, and then, but then you, you know, you had to bring the penetrative male forcefulness forward to say, hey, I'm going to do this. And yeah, one thing that struck me as you were speaking was that even the fact of men coming together or even being interested in joining a men's group, you know, we could say that that's that would be an intuitive response coming from that feminine side. And, you know, I'm sure that's one of the reasons why it doesn't occur to a lot of men.
Indeed. I just add another third thought that popped into my mind, which is this cultural belief that there is something wrong with maleness, yeah, or the world would be better off if we were just people and we didn't separate, you know, males and females and this whole notion. And what I would suggest is that just as the essence of who we are, mm-hmm, is a male essence, a sperm, and a female essence, an egg. When I wrote my book, 12 Rules for Good Men, which interestingly was inspired by my wife, mm-hmm, which is, I think, illustrates in a little different way what I'm saying, is I'd written already 15 books. I thought I was kind of finished with writing books. I thought she would be pleased, you know, because it takes a lot of time and away, yeah, from the family. And instead she said, you know, and she's never said this before. She's never, you know, suggested I write or I don't write. It's kind of, that's my thing. But she said, you know, I just feel that you have to write. You have to write at least one more book. And what she said was, there's so much conflict between males and females, and conflict in the world. And males have been so conditioned by the society to be armored and to wear, you know, this armoring that keeps us, you know, macho, yeah, and strong, but cut off. You, yeah, need to write a book for men that really guides them, and even, that's why, not just guides them, but maybe tells them, you know, yeah, here's our experience. This is what needs to be happening.
Yeah.
And so she suggested strongly the feminine. And I then had to decide, well, okay, let me take that in. You know, if I'm going to do this, mm-hmm, it's going to take some time. And okay, I want to do this. I want to write this book. And the first question I had for myself as I thought about writing a book like this was, so how far back does maleness and femaleness go in the evolution of life?
Right.
Right. Because if I'm right that there's this essential male, female, and sperms and eggs, well, where did that begin? Because, yeah, life is long. And it turns out that maleness and femaleness, that is, these two different cells that are the beginning of a certain kind of life, goes back a billion years. Life goes back much farther than that, where there were unicellular little creatures that, yeah, divided in two, and they called them two sister cells,
right,
because they didn't have difference, they just separated and they were the same kind of cells, sister cells. But when you had cells that were different and they each had to find the other, was, yeah, the beginning, you had that polarity, the male and female. So this idea that somehow you can go genderless, mm-hmm, is one, it's a fantasy that has some desire, which is a more equal, a more connecting way to be together in a world that would be more honoring of the male and female. And one way to do it is, if we didn't have male and female, then maybe we wouldn't have dominant you know, one right. over the other. Right. But what I would come to see, and maybe the third factor that's gotten in the way, is that we need to get equality and value and connection, not by denying the reality of male-female, but mm-hmm. by creating a world where male-female are in partnership rather than a world of domination that is going to harm females in one way and harm males in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I very much resonate with that. And because I feel this whole sort of postmodern progressive, let's say, emphasis towards this genderlessness or diminishing the importance of the masculine and the feminine pole. Yeah, it actually depolarizes us. So we might find equality on some more fundamental societal levels. You know, obviously there's a lot more equality than there was 40, 50 years ago. But yeah, then as men, and women too, but as men, we actually become depolarized and quite lost, you know. And it's definitely been my experience that a lot of more progressive, you know, spiritually interested men, while they might have an intuitive sense of spirit, you know, and attracted to some kind of larger and deeper understanding, they're quite confused about being a man, you know, or you know, on some level, subconsciously suppressing that fact, or not feeling good about it, or whatever. Exactly. So, and yeah, and I think it's true that the equality that we're really longing for between men and women, this kind of deep, a deep sense of respect, fundamental respect and equality, perhaps can only really be found when men come together and women come together. Because as long as we're trying to find it, you know, between men and women, all of that kind of ancient, you know, patriarchal conditioning, all of the societal messaging, there's so much that, you know, is creating a lot of static there. There's so much to work with.
Exactly.
And then, as you know, I was very struck when you said about the 10 rules for men, and the first one is go join a men's group, because that shifts everything. That changes everything. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting.
So, in light of that, I'd love to hear a bit more about your experience of, you know, being in a men's group for 43 years, and which is quite astonishing. And yeah, and why you stayed together that long, and what do you feel the deepest impacts on you and the other men that are involved have been?
Well, yeah, we've been together, like I say, now for 43 years. And we came together in a interesting way, that we had attended a workshop that a man named Herb Goldberg was one of the early guys, wrote a book called The Hazards of Being Male. And what he basically talked about was that males have a certain privilege in our culture, mm-hmm. you know, and we occupy positions of power and jobs and presidencies and positions of power, but in some ways in our emotional lives we're really very wounded, and certainly in our health we're very wounded. You know, men as a group live sicker and die sooner than females as a group. So we may be privileged in certain ways, but we're really wounded and lacking in some other ways. And so this workshop came together, it really, and men came to it as I went to it as a participant, because I really sensed the truth of that wounding. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of the things that men and women, it's what brought women to women's groups, not some big spiritual. I'm looking, but there's some wounding going on here. I'm hurting, and I need to figure out why I'm hurting and what to do about it.
Yeah.
So at the end of the workshop, one of the guys who had organized this, what they thought was a one-day event, which was a very interesting one-day event, but afterwards he invited the men that were there to come and just meet at his house and said, well, you know, we'd be interested in maybe forming a men's group. Mm-hmm. And there were maybe 10 or 12 guys that met. And out of that 10 or 12, seven of us decided, yeah, this is interesting. Cool. I want to see what a men's group is about. And we stayed. And the men's group, that's the seven guys we still have. We've had one guy left, another guy came, but for most of the time, the group has been the stable group. And it started kind of from the workshop idea of where were we wounded? You know, our relationships we're struggling with, we had work struggles, but it evolved to a place where we really went deeper and deeper and deeper, to a point where over time, little by little, we started revealing a little bit more. After about 15 years being together, the way we described it, I remember at the time, we talked like we felt like an old married couple. You know, we knew each other well, we'd heard our stories. You know, things were comfortable. We'd really look forward to coming to the group, but we kind of had lost that, you know, that passion and excitement that we had once been having when we began. And we decided that we would go deeper, and we attended an in-depth kind of gathering of men. It's called the Mankind Project, and we went for a weekend and went deeper. And what came out of that, we also had attended, there was a poet named Robert Bly, who was one of the guys who talked about men coming together. And one of the many things that Bly taught me, he and I became friends and spoke at many men's gatherings. But the thing that really resonated, and maybe it was the thing that has kept us together for 43 years, very simple idea, which was he said that he was talking about young men in particular, but all men, I think, would resonate with this. He said that young men need to be in the presence of older men in order to hear the sound that male cells sing.
Wow.
The sound that male cells sing. And I think that's what we were developing over the kind of 15 years, that there is an energy, a male energy, a sound, if you will, a frequency that male cells sing that you can't get when you're in the presence of female.
Right. That's a beautiful expression that really captures something.
Yeah. And women, I think, got it sooner than men. Women who formed women's groups as part of kind of women's, you know, liberation activities, they really got that there was something about being together as women. Mm-hmm. And men, I think, when they come together, you mentioned this, is that it doesn't take very long, really, to be, if it's a group that is really safe and open to all your feelings and you feel cared about and supported, for the resonances to start happening. But they keep going deeper and deeper and deeper, to a point where we had decided that this group wasn't just, as it started, a place where we could work out our shit, so to speak, so we could go do the real work and make more money and be successful in our businesses and get our relationships straightened out and find the beautiful woman that was waiting for us and all of that. But in fact, there was something deeper and more important, almost on a cellular level, which is the deepening dialogue that we have that allows us to be who we really are, to be connected deeply to our own calling in life, to be able to have relationships that can last a lifetime, rather than many of us had relationships that were not lasting, that I had gone through a divorce, other guys had gone through a divorce, others said we're still looking for relationships. So altogether, I would say the essence of the men's group was the coming together of an intuition, backing it up with kind of a strong masculine energy, and then the willingness to go deeper and to want to hear the sound that male cells sing, so that we could embody that in our own lives. We could give that to our children, grandchildren. We could give it to our wives, because if we don't feel it, if we don't feel that deep masculine energy, we get caught up in other people's energy, whether it's strong feminine energy that we want to connect with, but we don't feel strongly masculine, and the women that we're with don't feel a strong masculine presence, or it's a dominator presence. It's really a weak masculine. The dominator, I'm going to take charge energy, is often really a vulnerable, weak energy that we haven't been able to tune into. But the strong energy comes from a very quiet place, from the sound that male cells sing, and they sing very quietly. And if we are too loud, we're not going to hear it.
Yeah, wow, that's beautiful to hear you speak about that. Because that sound that male cells sing, for me, that captures something about the value of this kind of work with men. You know, through and beyond, as you said, the wounding, you know, and of course, going into all of our wounds, you know, having a safe place to express all of our challenges, to unravel these kind of psychic knots, is absolutely essential. But I've definitely discovered the same as you have, that if men are interested in coming together with other men, it doesn't actually take long for a very deep ease of being and trust to develop. And then that song that the male cells sing starts to be felt between everyone. And and it has this flavor, this quality that, as you say, is just unique. If there was one woman in the room, it wouldn't be there. If there's one woman in the circle, it wouldn't be there. And it's an interesting description, because, you know, it's using the image of cells, which is a biological metaphor. So it's pointing to a certain depth. You know, but I think it also captures something of what we could call the masculine spirit. I mean, in our group, we often call it the Shiva consciousness, which, you know, includes and transcends our individual expression. And so it's also very interesting to me when you described how, you know, your group got to a certain point where, you know, you all knew each other upside down and inside out, and you'd been through all your issues, but there was this impulse or intuition of like, no, there's something more, there's something deeper. And it's definitely my experience that this song that the male cells sing, it's something that happens in the collective. That's why I call it the men's collective, because there's the individual cells. And it's only when a man puts himself in a situation where he's with other men who are interested in opening up, that then these single cells start to resonate, you could say, like a tuning fork.
Right.
And then you've got this greater being or masculine spirit.
Right.
That wants to be
wants to be celebrated, felt, and known and expressed for its own sake, not just for the benefit of your individual life. And like you said, you know, I'm going to be a better success, and I'm going to find the woman of my dreams, and I'm going to finally figure out how to have a long-term relationship. You know, it's, all of those things can happen. You know, they can all become byproducts.
Yeah.
Of a far greater passion, that really is connected to something very profound, and as you say, has to do with, you know, doing something for the future generations.
Exactly.
Because I have no doubt, I very much believe that whatever we as individuals put into consciousness, you could say, you know, it gets carried forward beyond the death of these bodies. You know, we're all contributing to the stream of the evolution of consciousness. And
I just add one thing that you mentioned about the kind of the biological basis. There's an energetic, you know, kind of spiritual soul connection, but there's also very biological. You know, my background is in biology. I was pre-med. I went to medical school in my early years before I went back and went into social work, and then got a PhD in international health. But on a biological basis, we know there's 10 trillion cells in the human body. 10 trillion, so a lot of cells, 10 trillion cells. And every one is sex specific.
Mm-hmm.
Every cell, so every cell in a male body has an X and a Y chromosome.
Right.
Every cell. And every cell in a female body has two X chromosomes. We all know that, double X, that's female, XY is male.
Mm-hmm.
But now they've actually gone more deeply, and they recognize not only are the cells different, and in kind of previous studies, they thought, well, there's not that much difference. So yeah, okay, so XY, our genitals are different, but you know, other than that, we're, you know, you're similar, similar than different. But increasingly, they've found that the differences make a big difference. And the fact that each cell in a male body is different than a female body, it not only creates different proteins that are made, it creates different hormones, and it makes us different people. Our brains are different, other parts. It doesn't mean we don't have a lot of similarities and overlap between male and female, but we also have to honor each of those cells, and the fact that a poet captures it as the sound that male cells sing, and a biologist will tell you there's 10 trillion cells in the human body, and each one is sex specific, and the differences make a big difference, are really speaking to this deeper truth about who we are.
Yeah, that's why I love that as a metaphor, because it also points to embodiment, you know, and you know, one of the descriptors we've used in some of our men's retreats is a strong spine and an open heart. And you know, men in general tend to veer to one pole or the other. You know, you could say a more traditional and even modern man who's oriented to success and making it in the world and has got taken on a lot of the patriarchal messaging, they might have a strong spine, but as you were saying earlier, emotionally they're wounded or cut off. And then you have the more progressive, you know, sensitive new age nice guys who are, you know, seem to be all heart, you know, but then you poke them a bit and they start to get angry.
Exactly.
And of course they're completely in denial of that. And so it's very much, they're very much in my experience and in my own growth as a man, it's been about becoming more and more embodied actually. And yeah, so that's why I love the metaphor, because, you know, if what we could call spirit is everything, you know, Matt, there's a beautiful quote by Teilhard de Chardin. He said that matter is spirit moving slowly enough to be seen. So here we are, we're all made of spirit, we're all made of consciousness, and then there's that singing of ourselves, which is like, yeah, as you said, I feel that the call of consciousness itself is for us to more fully embody our polarity as men and women, and to embrace our differences and explore our differences. And it's my experience, and also the experience in our projects, because as I was saying earlier, in the Awaken Life Project, we have a men's collective and a women's collective. What we're finding is when the men really go deeply into their work, you could say the women go deeply into theirs, then when we come together, it's very easy. It's you know, there's a natural unselfconscious love and respect, and there's a high, this of course there's profound equality. But it's like the men are more like men, you know, the men are more sort of shining and strong in their masculine, and the women are more radiant in their true femininity, as opposed to a sort of masculinized femininity, which is also very common in postmodern culture, where a lot of women become kind of hardened and they take on a lot of masculine characteristics so they can make it in the world, you know, and be more independent and all the rest of it. So it's quite something. In fact, you know, I think it's still a potential that's hardly exists in the world yet, where, you know, I don't think we know really what a true, fully embodied, let's say, divine masculine and feminine really is, you know. And I think, well,
We're finding out more all the time. I think it kind of back to some of the things we said at the beginning, which is this kind of dark night of the soul period that is, I think, really asking of us all that in order to get through to the light, men have to be more deeply themselves as men, as male, and fully embodied and fully integrated, and women are called to the same, to be fully female and to be embodied by that. And we have this overlay of this conditioning of what we think in a fairly dominator society that we've lived in for maybe 5 or 6,000 years. So there's some strong aspects of that that we're all, in a sense, contaminated by. But in this crucible of consciousness that I think is calling, that we're either going to get through this together or the human species is in danger of not being here. Many other species have come and gone. We haven't been here very long compared to many other species. And if we want to continue to be, we need to be, you know, all hands on deck. Males need to be themselves, women need to be. And I see it in my own life. My wife, Carlin, mentioned she and I have been together for 42 years now. And she would say that part of the reason we've had a really healthy 42-year marriage is because I've been in a men's group for 43 years. And the truth is, and she's been in a women's group, and we're both continuing. I have a men's group and she has a women's group. And then, as you said, we come together, the men and the women, and it's a whole different coming together that is new to everybody. Women will say, you know, I totally am tuned in and moved by how vulnerable the men are, how real they are, how strong, but, you know, this, as you described, the strong backbone and the open heart, and how the women that we're with can feel strong and able and can be out in the world and work and do things, but they also have open hearts, and there's a dance that goes on between the masculine and feminine and men and women. That's a dance that is necessary.
Beautiful,
and being
yeah.
called on not only for us to have long-term marriages and good relationships, which we all want, but also that the masculine energies and the feminine can come together on behalf of the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, and the generations ahead, because that's really why we're all here, all of us. I mean, if we can't keep our commitments to the next generations, if we destroy the environment, if we create wars that kill everybody off, that we failed as a species. Yeah. Yeah. And that requires males and females to be the best of who we can be.
Yeah, wow, beautifully put. That's very interesting to hear that your wife is also in a women's group. And a number of them, actually.
She's been in a number, and I've been in a number of men's groups, because it's really being able to embody our full masculinity requires that we be with other men. For her to embody her true femininity requires that she be with other women.
Exactly.
And it needs to be consistent over time to have a long-term good relationship, I think, with a marriage at whatever sex you are, whatever partnerships you have. You need to be fully yourself and fully embodied. And for most of us, that means men being in men's groups and women being in women's groups. And I'd like to see those happen all over the world, and that everybody have that kind of experience, so that we can be who we are, be the best of who we are, and can come together to do, for me, the three things that we teach people at Men Alive and kind of embodies what I'm here is to be fully authentic beings and be a fully authentic male in my case. Secondly, to learn to love deeply and well, which is the second thing I think we want. And the third thing is to make a positive difference in the world, to be able to do our particular part, our particular calling, to make the world a better place, so that the children and the grandchildren and great-grandchildren and all future generations will look back at who we were and who we are, and to be able to say, thank you, you created and you left for us a world that we can now build for the next stages that are going to go on to the next. And we feel all called upon, I think, at this critical time in human history to figure out how to do that. And we need a lot of different people and a lot of different experiments and a lot of different parts of the world to figure out what are the best practices and what can we do to make the world a better place.
Wow, fantastic, Jed. I couldn't agree more with those three diamond points you just made at the end there, and especially what you said at the end is that's what's really inspiring me to reach out to other men like yourself, to connect with other men who've like yourself. You're an elder, you have an enormous amount of experience, and other men that are doing work out there with men, because as you were saying, so many men are longing for it actually without really knowing, and that's a big part of what's inspired us to start to reach out is, you know, it's so amazing, for example, when a new man joins the group and just the impact, like the first meeting will have on them. It'll be like, oh my God, I have never experienced anything like this. I never knew this was possible. You know, and that sense of at last I found it. And many of the men have expressed that it's that sense of at last I found something that I didn't really even know I was longing for.
Right.
And what it is that sound of the male cells, the brotherhood singing. And as you say, that includes us dealing with all of our shit, you know, and putting our stuff on the table and, you know, opening up and being vulnerable.
But it's not so that we can just be, you know, a more functional ego. You know, it's so that we can actually serve and give our unique gift, as you were describing.
Exactly. And take that analogy just another step of, I mean, think what it would be like if all our individual cells, all 10 trillion of them in our individual bodies, were singing the tune that is our unique tune, and that all the other male tune in the universe was creating this male symphony, and there's the female, you know, cells singing their tune and creating a female symphony, and then this great symphony of males and females coming together to create a symphony for humanity.
Yeah,
that would be this grand opus of beautiful music. Mm-hmm. At all kinds of levels that would, you know, tune in to the all the other creatures, the bird music, yeah, and the exactly. tree music and the earth music. I mean, what it isn't the earth longing for this music to be sung?
Definitely. I often feel when I go into nature, go into a forest, and I'm just like, or even just feeling the trees and the plants, it's just like we're living in paradise. You know, we never left the Garden of Eden. And it's just waiting for us to get with the program, you know. Yeah. When are you human beings gonna you realize who you are and what you're here for? And but as we were saying about the crisis, I feel that's more and more people are starting to hear that call now. You know, that our civilization, as you know, as much as we've advanced, you know, over time, you know, there's something at its very core that it needs to be healed, needs to be purified. And that's one way to look at the time we're in and how important it is for us all to give our gifts to make manifest that beautiful vision you just described. And I love the metaphor you brought in earlier of the dance, because when we really are ourselves and we're living authentically and giving ourselves to that call, life is a dance. And then, as you said, there's that beautiful dance between masculine, feminine, and men and women, where we're no longer competing with each other, we're no longer at war with each other. And you know, and the true sacred masculine, divine feminine flowering in forms that we as yet can't even really imagine. I really feel the call of that possibility. So thank you, Jed. Really a pleasure speaking with you.
Really, my pleasure to speak with you as well. Clearly we've got a vision that nourishes us individually and comes together, and I feel a resonance with you and what you're doing with the men's collective and the women's collective as part of your community, and feels like these are the sparks of light and action that are happening as I'm meeting more and more people all over the world to see who's doing what and how we can come together to share our visions and share our experiences and share, as my colleague Charles Eisenstein said, to create the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible.
That's a beautiful line. Yeah, I love that one too. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks very much, Jed. So until next time.
So thank you very much for listening. That's it for today. If you would like to find out more about my book, The Fire of the Heart, you can go to thefireoftheheart.com, where you can also download 4 free chapters. If you'd like to find out more about the Awaken Life Project, then go to awakenlifeproject.org or our Awaken Life Project Facebook page, where you can find out all about our ashram, extended spiritual community, retreats and other events, and our adventures living off-grid in the mountains of Portugal. So keep on keeping on until next time. And as they say in Portugal, até já.